Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts, and I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise your name, O Lord. And your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. I want to read 21 again. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Please pray with me. Father, this morning as we talk about you, as we look at these words of yours given to us through your servant David, as we hear these great things about you, may your spirit move in us in such a way that we burst out in your praise this week. Show us your great power, Father, and presence in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, children and adults, what will your mouth do today? What will your mouth do? When you open your mouth, what will it do? My grandmother, we called her Denny. She was from Winsboro, Virginia Townsend. She would sometimes, when she'd get mad at me, she would growl like a cat. She'd go, rawr, rawr. She would just do that. And I'm an aggravator. And so as I was growing up into a young man, she said, David, sometimes I just think you talk to hear yourself talk. You just run your mouth. And then she'd finish it with a growl. Rawr. What will you do with your mouth? What do you speak about? You know, James tells us that our tongue can cause a great hurt and damage. It has a lot of power. Who can tame it? Who can control the tongue? It can really discourage people. I remember my brother John, who's 11 months older than me, a little four-year-old kid. John's 11, 12, came up to him and just said, "You're ugly." And it plagued him for years. He said, if a little four-year-old kid would tell me that I'm ugly, then it must be true. So our tongues can do a lot of damage, can't they? And they can also be used to encourage and lift up and exalt. And I remember one time I was using my tongue. My dad recorded me in Chester, South Carolina, and I think he did it to teach me a lesson because he played it over. And the whole time, all I did was brag about how good of a football player I was. I can hear those words echoing in my head to this day that he recorded and played it for me. And I was like, Dad, you ought to see me play. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. I scored, we beat so-and-so 40-something to 7. I scored half the touchdowns. And this is backyard football. This wasn't a real game, okay? I never scored in a real game. He said, well, who scored the other half? And I said, Chip. But he wouldn't have scored if I didn't throw it to him. All I did was brag about myself. And I would like us to resolve something together as a church. I know some of you might not be big into resolutions, But I'd like us to resolve as a church that we would use our mouths, not just this year, but every day, to praise God. Just to exalt Him and lift Him up. Would you consider resolving that? Well, that's what the psalmist does here in this text, doesn't he? He resolves. He says, I will. You see that repeated over in the first few verses. He's making a resolution here. He says, I will extol you, O my God, my King. He says, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I'll do it. I mean, he has no idea. David has been through a lot. This is one of David's last psalms that he writes. And they believe it's his last one. And it's one of those acrostic psalms that we talk about in about Psalm 119, that if you would read the Hebrew from right to left, that's how they would write, you would see the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet kind of, and each line would start with that little phrase, and then it'd go Alpha, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, all the way down to Tavet, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And God's showing His beauty and His creativity as He moves David to write these words, and he is resolving. He said, I'm going to open my mouth and praise you. Now, I hope you resolved that this morning. I hope you resolved that when you came to church, your main motivation, and I'm not naive to think that's everybody's motivation when they come to church, but your main motivation is, I am coming to praise God and extol Him and exalt His name. I hope you resolve to do that every Sunday, but the psalmist says, I resolve to open my mouth and praise you every day. And then he says, forever and ever. He has a wonderful understanding that he is, by God's wonderful work of creation and by His work of salvation, going to be eternally, eternally praising God. We'll come back to that. But he is saying that he is going to exalt the Lord. And I want us to answer a few questions as we look at the text this morning, and we'll go through it pretty quickly. But why should we praise God? Why should we praise God? I mean, that's the first point. Why should we praise? The first question that we're going to answer, and then we'll answer how should we praise Him, when do we praise Him, and what happens when we praise Him. And you could have broke this passage up in different ways, and I encourage you to do that, to study this passage and maybe make your own little points that the Lord moves you to in light of what the Scripture is saying. But why should we praise Him? I mean, God has, one, equipped us, hasn't He not? Created us to want to praise things. I'll brag about my son Hart. I remember one time when he was a sixth grader, well, actually his first basketball game that he ever played in, Hart gets the ball, and he's never played in an organized basketball game. He's practiced, and I've got it on video somewhere, and he just dribbles right down the line amongst all the players and shoots and makes it, his first shot. It was just courageous. You know, a lot of times, I wouldn't quite like that. I got to learn it. I'm not going to go. He was just courageous. Another time I saw him do this was we went to Gravitopia. That's a place in Spartanburg, kids, where you can jump around and throw balls and fall on all these soft things, and they call it Gravitopia there, and Hart was in sixth grade, and some of his friends get in there, and these guys, it looked like they lived at this place. They were high schoolers. They looked like they came here every day, and they were just playing this dodgeball game, and these guys were just throwing as hard as they could, and all the big guys got on one team, but not Hart and his friends. They were on the other one, and there are these little guys out there, and they were just going at these big boys with no fear as these guys were throwing the ball at them, and they were beating them. It was just amazing for me to watch. I got so excited about watching these boys do that I saw I could talk about for the next few days. It just got me so moved to say, this is incredible. I know for some of y'all that's silly. For me, it was just amazing to see that courage. And I remember another example where I was moved to praise something. Have you ever watched something go down and it goes down so wonderfully? Again, it's sports related, but I was watching a slam dunk contest, probably I think it was 2014 or 15, and I'd never seen one like this, and they were just amazing dunks, and the crowd was into it, and this one guy comes from behind the goal, he hits it on the backboard, and he comes around and dunks it, and I'm watching it by myself. Linda's doing something more purposeful and better. I'm watching this game, and my kids are in bed, and I just had to tell somebody, so I called my friend, are you watching this? The psalmist is saying, I get excited about is the one who made all those little things that we get excited about. The one who's created all those things, the one who is amazing, I am going to praise Him. And truly, y'all, you want to get a sense of whether you get it or not? How much do you talk about God and how great He is? And if it's not much part of your life, you're not getting it. Wouldn't we agree with that? Or we've forgotten it. It's become old hat, right? Every time we talk about anything, our end result should be, how can I give any credit to God's greatness in this conversation? Every day, every situation, I think of Jim and Lee and the week that unfolded for them this week and all those around, those weeks, what can I do to exalt God? What can I do to praise Him? How do I respond to this situation in a way that would give me a chance to exalt God? And he says here, he says not only that he's resolving to do this, he says, I do this because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Linda played a song that, I don't know, sometimes when Linda play a song, I can hear the words even though we're not singing it. And that song, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. And that really is, as if we think about it, if we think about the things that we're so bent on exalting and praising, and the things that blow us away, and we attribute them to who did it, who made it, who created it, who sustains it. But God doesn't just create things, He sustains it. He provides for it. And He says, oh, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He says, His greatness is unsearchable. Now think about this. His greatness is unsearchable. How? Well, if it's unsearchable, we should have a lot to be thinking about how great He is in our quest to search for it. But think about this, y'all. A billion years from now, those of us that will be in heaven will be learning more new things about how great God is. They're going to be unfolding in us in eternity. It's not like we get to heaven and we just, oh, God's amazing, boom, He's great, I give it all, thank you, I've got it. And then we just kind of go on that for the rest of eternity. A billion years from now, we're going to be seeing something new about how great God is. It's immeasurable, it's unsearchable, it's impossible for us to know it completely. He says, your works are great, they're unsearchable. And he says, one generation shall praise you, your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. What has God done that's so mighty? What are His mighty acts? What are the things that are unfolding in our life that we can say, oh, I want to praise God for these things? Are our antennas up for His mighty acts that are taking place in what He's doing? Do we believe that He can do mighty things? Do we believe that the prayer request that we get on our knees and lift up to Him, that He can do it? That's why we do that. Do we pray? We were talking about that in our prayer time. Any of y'all are invited to join us at 9 o'clock, and it's hard to fit all the prayers in, but we prayed about 9 to 9:30 this morning about this worship service and about the people in this church. You're welcome to come meet over there. We meet in the youth room is where we pray, and if we have to move it up early to 8:30, I'd love to be there at 8:30, pray until 9:15. So that the choir can get back up here. And if we grow, we might have to move it. But about 6-7 of us will get together, or 5 or 4, and we'll pray about these things. And it preps us for His worship. And the psalmist says, he says, your mighty acts, your glorious splendor, your majesty, and all your wondrous works. The psalmist is speaking vaguely, but we can tell in the next few verses when he says, I meditate on them. I meditate on what your greatness is. He's not just saying, I'm going to just make a point, God's great. That's kind of what we do. God's great. God's good. But we don't start putting meat on the bones. The meat's there to be, it's not like we have to put it on, but noticing it. And he praises them for His great and mighty works. I mean, you just think about creation. You think of the fact that our galaxy has, they say, I think, 400 billion stars in our galaxy. 400 billion stars in our galaxy, and there's trillions of galaxies. Is that not amazing? And God didn't break a sweat when He made it. It didn't wear Him out. And you look at how vast the universe is, and then you look at how small our earth is in the vastness of the universe, and he shows us his mighty works in putting his attention to this one little sphere, this one little small planet, and he places on it his people. And they're looking for life, and you see how grand God it is. He makes this thing so big and so great and so awesome. And then yet, if you even go to the smallest thing, the smallest molecule or cell, you'll see all kind of greatness of God just in that little cell, the complexity of it. The streets of New York are less complex than a little cell. And the way God has made that is just unbelievable. And the more you study it, the more you watch these shows that they're telling us about how this works and how that works. I mean, I'm off on a rabbit trail here, but when Marvin, it's a girl cat, we named it Marvin before we knew, when Marvin gave birth to the kittens, 11 of them over a period of two deliveries, and within 2 years, I just was blown away at how these little kittens would know that they needed to go to their mama and eat. And that is God not only creating those things and saying, all right, they're letting them fend for themselves. He is drawing them to their mother. And that's amazing. He's built them in a way that they're drawn to their mother's warmth. They're drawn to their mother's milk. They're drawn to those things. And you watch it and you ought to just, instead of saying, oh, that's cute, you're saying, God is amazing. He is so amazing. His works are so amazing. But you know what makes him great too? Is in light of his splendor, in light of the bigness of what he does, that he is a God of compassion and love. Look at what it says. He said, they shall utter the memory of your greatness, verse 7, and shall sing of your rightness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And then it says, he's slow to anger. Now some of you, listen to me, some of you think of God and you say, I just see God as angry. He's just angry with me. He is just always trying to get me. He's always trying to bust me in the chops. He is against me. And if that's your view of God, that is not the God of Scripture. You have elevated your will. You've elevated the way you want your life to play out. And you've lost sight of who God is. And the Bible tells us that God is compassionate, that he's gracious, that he's slow to anger. It does say that he has anger and righteous anger, but it's not out of control anger. It's not out of control ugly anger. It's righteous anger and it's just anger, but he's slow to it. That's not the aspect of his goodness and his mercy and his love. You cannot lose sight of that. That is what he says. He's great in mercy. He's great in compassion. He's slow to anger. Does not treat us the way we deserve. You know what I said? You elevate yourself when you think God's against you. We deserve hell. So if God gives you hell, is he just against you? Now that's what we've earned. The wages of sin is death. We've earned that. But God says, no, I'm going to send you a Savior. And even though the time on this earth can be difficult and you can have challenges, I want you to exalt me and praise my greatness and my compassion and my mercy in this short little moment of time that you're on this earth. Because I have purchased you and you're mine, and you're going to be in eternity in heaven, a place that will blow away this fallen world. Notice that the psalmist worships him not only because he's great and his mercy endures, he's compassionate, he has mercy, his tender mercies. You can go over to look over to verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food. This is verse 15. In due season, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. And he says here, he also will hear the cry and save them. God is so engaged with his creation that he not only knows when the deer gives birth. I saw five big, I don't know what they were. They were big. They didn't have antlers. I couldn't see them. So maybe I know they lose their antlers somewhere. I don't know when. Five deer crossed the road right here out in front of the church as I'm driving in this morning. And God knows them and he provides for them. He makes sure that they have food. He makes sure that they're provided for. He knows when the bird falls out of the branch. He knows us. He loves us. He's going to provide for us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's move on to how should we praise Him. Well, you hear all these different words throughout the text. In the first 10 verses, you hear the word extol Him, bless Him, praise Him, commend Him. So we extol Him out loud, we bless Him, we praise Him, we commend Him, we declare Him, we meditate on Him, we speak about Him, we pour forth, it just spills over in our life. We sing aloud to Him in verse 9, we give thanks. You just, all through it, you can just highlight it. Of all these different ways, you see this aspect that we are not all, we're to praise Him individually. You'll see that in the text when it says "My God," and that's another reason why is that we belong to Him. He's ours. He's our God. He's not a distant God. The psalmist says, "My God." Verse 1: I will extol You, My God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. You're Mine. You belong to Me. But he uses all these words. In Hebrew, there's 7 words for praise. And there's 4 of those 7 words in this text. And each word in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, that means praise has a specific way to praise the Lord. For example, I'll give you 3 of them. Halal means to do it exuberantly. To praise Him exuberantly or in a loud voice or in tears. With instruments. Barak means to kneel. That we're to worship the Lord in our kneeling. There's the actions that are attributed to this worship. Yada means the raising of one's hands. They make jokes about us. I heard a pastor say once that one time a burglar came up on a guy and said, "Stick him up," and he said, "I can't, I'm Presbyterian." It's okay for us to raise a hand. I know our hearts behind it is, I feel like if I started dancing up front and raising my hands, y'all would just be thinking about my big hiney or something. I don't want you to do that. I want you to think about the Lord. But there's a time for us to raise our hands up to Him when we pray instead of praying like this. And I've said this numerous times. We raise our hands up and surrender it to the Lord. He gives us all kind of specifics in this text of the different ways that we can praise Him and how should we praise Him. And I love the element of every day and forever and ever, that King David has a good understanding that he's going to live eternally and that as he lives on this earth, he's going to praise the Lord. You know, that answers the second question. Third question we get in, when do we praise Him? Well, we praise Him every day in every circumstances. In all things give thanks. In all things give praise. And we're never going to get bored of it. We struggle with it down here. We struggle with praising Him down here as He deserves, as He has done the wonderful things and been a good and loving God. We struggle to praise Him the way He deserves to be, but we won't always struggle like this. One day we'll get really good at it. And we get to practice it now and get better and better here. And you see an aspect here that when I look at the question, what happens when we praise, is it really is an important link in a chain from generation to generation. I hope my children will say good things about me one day when I die. I think they got plenty of bad things to say about me, but I hope that they'll say good things about me. And I hope one of the things they'll say is that Dad was committed to the praise of God. He praised the Lord. He talked about what God has done. He's tried to communicate in his feeble way the great works of the Lord in his life. You know, you look at the last part of the text. Since the Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He wants to be called upon. He wants to be called upon in truth. He wants us to praise Him in truth. He doesn't want us to praise Him about things that are not true. He will fulfill those desires of those who fear Him. He will hear the cry and save them. You know, the greatest thing that we have is that this God that has done such great things And that is that he's a God of compassion, a God of mercy, and that he, in his love and in his compassion for us, did not leave us as we deserve, but sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And so your response this morning may have already been, man, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit moved in me, that I was a sinner, and moved in me my need for a Savior, and moved in me for to cry out to the Lord, oh God, in Jesus, save me. In the work of Christ, save me. I put my trust in Jesus for my salvation. I rest upon Him and Him alone for my eternal destination to heaven. And I know many of you have done that, but I don't assume every one of you have done it. And you'll notice the psalmist, when he talks about God's greatness and he talks about his compassion and he talks about his Savior, David through the Holy Spirit knows that there's a coming Savior that he must rest upon for his salvation, that he in himself is condemned by his sins, and the forgiveness of his sins and the salvation lies in a Savior that is to come. And David's a picture of that as a king in some ways, a flawed picture of it. But then he ends with, not only, he says, those who cry and save them, the Lord preserves all who love him. But the wicked, those who don't cry out to him, those who live in their wickedness, those who say, I don't need a Savior, I'm going to live my life the way I want to, and I'm going to exalt myself, and I'm going to use my mouth to praise myself. He says, he will destroy. And then David ends the whole passage with, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. I'm going to resolve, I will, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Now, I encourage you to resolve to do that with me. To resolve to with your mouth, speak the praise of the Lord. And to do that in all circumstances, because of your Savior Jesus Christ. And when we exalt the Lord, we cannot exalt him any better than to lift high the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this reminder as we start a new year. We're two Sundays into the new year, and Lord, may we not gather in a way that is not to praise and exalt our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we look to do that. Lord, may we take ourselves off of self-exaltation and self being consumed with ourselves, and may we move it, may you move it, help us to move it toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we would proclaim the mighty works of the Lord, and that we would proclaim the mercy and compassion, the slow to anger, the love of Christ, and that, Lord, we would proclaim Christ as the only hope of salvation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.